With as much as the pandemic has impacted our lives in 2020, it's easy to overlook some of the positives we've been finding. Not that anyone would ever wish to go through this time, but when dark clouds hover, it's gratifying to search for and find some silver linings. One of the reasons to be grateful is that more people have been getting out and reconnecting with nature, and in a variety of ways. You can find evidence of that in the significant increase in the number of people who are bird watching. I'm David Fair, and I welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Aaron Rowan, and Aaron serves as Conservation Associate for Audubon Great Lakes, a regional office of the National Audubon Society. And Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, despite all of the issues that have helped define 2020 for us, how gratifying is it to you to see greater and more active interest in birdwatching?
I am so thrilled to see that more and more people are connecting with birds. I am a verified bird nerd myself, and I
bird nerd, I like it.
Oh yes, for sure. And I definitely find joy and peace in bird watching, and it's just so much fun. A lot of folks have compared it to a live version of Pokemon Go, where you're going out and trying to find all of these individual bird species. And I'm just so excited and happy to see that more people are participating in this effort and getting excited about birds.
I personally have to plead some ignorance when it comes to this subject matter. I think if pressed, I could probably identify a robin, a blue jay, a bald eagle, maybe a pelican. But that's about it. Where did this hobby come from and turn into such an obsession for so many?
Well, I think so many people, you know, are adjusting to life at home during the pandemic, and it's such a great way to connect with nature while you're having to stay at home. You can see these birds wherever you are. If you're in a rural community, urban community, it's a great way to participate in community science as well and feel like you're contributing to a larger community overall.
As a self-described bird nerd, what about that experience of going out and seeing a new or different species is so attractive?
I absolutely love nature and the environment, and being able to see the kind of biodiversity we have here in Michigan is just thrilling. We lie at the intersection of two migratory flyways or superhighways, so we get over 380 bird species a year. And trying to go out and see as many as we possibly can is just thrilling. And I'm not from Michigan originally, so some of these birds are still new to me. I keep lists and do my best to spot these new, beautiful birds.
So the thrill of the chase is still valid for you.
Indeed. After many years, after a couple of decades, it's still very, very valid.
Issues of the Environment in our conversation with Aaron Rowan from Audubon Great Lakes continues on 89.1 WEMU. Now, when I think of bird watching, my frame of reference is a Steve Martin movie called The Big Year. Are you familiar?
Yes.
It's about these fanatically obsessed community of bird watchers that travel the globe in an effort to set a record for most species personally witnessed. Now, I suppose there are some of those around, but I imagine that kind of backyard bird watchers are far more common, right?
Yeah. There are so many more people that are identifying as bird watchers across the United States and in Michigan. Almost a quarter of Michiganders identify as a bird watcher. And a lot of those folks do that in the comfort of their own homes, looking at the birds in their backyards. So it's a really great way, again, to connect with nature from the comfort of your own home.
Now, regardless of how casually or obsessive the practice, how does bird watching help us manage and maintain our bird populations?
So birds act as that proverbial canary in the coal mine, letting us know when things are off balance and maintaining and contributing to long data sets of bird monitoring is really, really important. Audubon's Christmas bird count is an example of that, and it's the longest running wildlife census in the world with over 120 years of volunteer involvement. And that data helps scientists assess the health of bird populations and guides conservation actions to protect birds and their habitat. And that also includes helping to identify environmental issues with implications for people as well.
I was going to say, how vital are those bird populations to the actual well-being of the Michigan environment?
Very, very much so. I mean, there's obviously some utilitarian and ecological values that birds provide, but also intrinsic value for us birders that are out there just enjoying their presence.
Is climate change having an impact on the kinds of species we are finding in Michigan?
Yes. So one report that Audubon recently put out last fall was the climate change report, and the Christmas bird count data contributed to that. And that study is predicting how climate change could affect the ranges of 588 North American birds. And of all those bird species Audubon studied, more than half are likely to be in trouble. And the models indicate that 314 of those species are going to lose more than 50% of their current climatic range by 2080. So it's a big potential impact that could really harm Michigan's birds. You can also go online to Audubon's climate change page, Survival by Degrees, and enter your zip code to see what birds in your own backyard are most impacted by climate change.
There is that potential for many species to become endangered moving forward. Do we have endangered species in our state and in our area right now?
We do, yes. The piping plover is a very beloved shorebird species that is federally endangered, and there are ongoing conservation actions taking place to protect those birds. We also have dozens of state threatened, state endangered, and species of special concern that are birds, including the black tern, which is a focal species of ours at Audubon Great Lakes, that is seeing also precipitous population decline, but is not yet on the endangered species list. And it is a bird we are hoping to conserve and reverse that population trend to become stable and increase.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU. Our Issues of the Environment guest today is Aaron Rowan. Aaron is Conservation Associate for Audubon Great Lakes. Aaron, are the policies and practices that we have in place in Michigan sufficiently protecting and preserving bird habitat to ensure survival of the multitude of species that do call Michigan home for at least portions of the year?
Yes, there are a lot of really great areas that are incredibly important for birds. Michigan is home to over 100 important bird areas, some of which are globally recognized. Over half of those are owned and managed by Michigan DNR, and there are opportunities for folks to contribute to the protection of those areas through stewardship and community science opportunities. We also are home to the Great Lakes and thousands of miles of coastal wetlands, which are incredibly important for those migratory bird species. Those are the areas where they rest and refuel on their journey south. And it's important that we retain our remaining wetlands and ensure that they're good quality, because we have lost a lot of our wetlands across the Great Lakes region and in Michigan as well. In particular, about half of our wetlands have been lost just due to conversion of agriculture and urbanization.
Well, to return the conversation back to the more positive, 2020 has been a good year for birders in the state of Michigan, hasn't it?
Yes, 2020 has been a great year, particularly this winter. Michigan and the Great Lakes on the whole is experiencing what we call a northern finch eruption. And eruptions are when a dramatic, irregular migration of a large number of birds to an area where they aren't typically found occurs. And sometimes that can be great distances outside of their normal ranges. And the reason for some of these eruptions differ by bird species, but they're not entirely understood. We do know, though, that the northern finches that are heading south here in Michigan are in search of seed and cone crops, which are their winter food source. So this year we're seeing more red-breasted nuthatches, evening grosbeaks, red and white-winged crossbills, and pine siskins. And a lot of those birds are showing up at people's bird feeders across the state this winter as well. So it's really an exciting time. You normally don't see many of those species here.
So you mentioned this is the 121st year of the Audubon Christmas bird count, and obviously that has played a role over generations in keeping the census of birds. What is the hope or expectation for this year's count, which ends on January 5th?
Yes. And we are encouraging all of our compilers to follow some COVID-19 guidelines to ensure that we run a safe and socially distanced Christmas bird count. If local rules allow that, if that's not an option, compilers are encouraged to cancel their counts. So we encourage interested volunteers to reach out to their local compilers to see if they can participate in this year's winter bird count.
I suspect that through the course of our conversation, the interest has peaked for some. For those interested in getting started, what is the best starting point?
Yes, so I encourage folks to download Audubon's bird identification app. We've seen an increase in that app being downloaded as well this year. But it's a great free application that helps you with your bird identification. And you can also purchase a physical bird guide if you prefer to have that when you're out in the field. We do encourage people to have bird feeders as well if you aren't able to get outside to participate in the Christmas bird count, but you live within one of our Christmas bird count circles. You can actually set up a bird feeder and contribute to the Christmas bird count from the comfort of your own home. You can also participate in winter feeder watches, which are happening this winter through the Michigan Winter Feeder Watch with Kalamazoo Nature Center, and the other with Cornell's Project Feeder Watch. And for all of these feeder counts, all age levels and birding skills are welcome. So it's a great community science project for the whole family.
Well, I not only thank you for the time today, Erin, I thank you for sharing your passion.
Oh, thank you so much.
Erin Rowan is Conservation Associate for Audubon Great Lakes, a regional office of the National Audubon Society, and she's been our guest on issues of the environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.